He understands that. And that I won't be doing any harm to anything that he said this morning. So I'd like to read the entire chapter of Matthew 23. It's one of those chapters that all that is written here in my Bible in that red ink means that it was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, I know all of this is the Word of God, but when I see the red ink, that has special meaning. It's what he says. And I do indeed value very highly everything he ever said. Reading from verse 1, Matthew 23.
Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they did, you observe,
that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more, the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites,
For ye like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. And even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets, garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, and all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have read from the Word of God a passage of Scripture that is sobering to each one of us as we think about the hearts of men and how some unwisely, very foolishly, have gone so contrary to the mind and the will of God, have denied you that entrance into their hearts to dispel the darkness, that ignorance, that dullness of hearing and seeing that possesses those that will not believe. Oh, our God, those that we have read about in this passage are indeed in a class of individuals that our Lord singled out for just this purpose, to remind us that we live in a world that is filled with those whose minds and hearts are still in darkness. Oh Lord, we would pray that even today, as the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has gone around the world, it has dispelled that darkness. And there are some that woke this morning in darkness, and now, having lived through another day and having accepted the light that has come into the world tonight, they're saved by the grace of God, and they're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that that wonderful experience of salvation for a soul has taken place today somewhere. We praise thee and thank thee, Lord, that it is in this day of grace that we still present the gospel, the truth, concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless, we pray thee, our time together here this evening. Stir our hearts. May the Spirit of God move upon our hearts. And any and all of what we have read that would be of value to any one of us in this room, use it, we pray thee, for your glory and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we ask this. Amen. This passage about scribes and Pharisees is such, it's an embarrassment to think that sometimes people that take positions of prominence, people that are recognized as having responsibility to do a job, especially in the area of those things that are spiritual, we do kind of put things in a category. Whatever assignment we have in this life, each one of us is responsible to the Lord as to how we manage our lives and what we're supposed to be doing. Certainly these scribes and Pharisees had awesome responsibility. They represent God. We commence the whole reading. They are in the seat of Moses. They are in a position of authority over God's people. God's people were to respect them and look upon them in a very special way. Yes. If you take that responsibility, there are certain standards that you're to measure up to. The sad thing about this is you read through it and it doesn't seem to make sense. They were preaching one thing, but they were doing something else. And I have to believe that it was very obvious that they were doing something else. The Lord Jesus Christ said, when they teach you from the Word of God, from the law of Moses, and those things that are found in the Word of God, when they teach you that Word, you have a responsibility to obey that Word. But then he followed it with this, but said, don't do like they do. Don't do like they do. Because they preach and teach one thing, but they do something else. Do you know any people like that? Do you know people that, they say one thing, but they do something else? And you know they deserve the title, hypocrite. That's what it is, hypocrisy. Putting on a show, they present themselves as being something that they're not. These things that we've read in here, and when you're filled with dead men's bones, when you're like vipers, man, those are strong words. That sets before us a picture that none of us would like to be characterized as being full of dead men's bones, whited sepulchres, vipers. You wouldn't like that. I don't like that idea. But there just seems to be something in the makeup of man in his natural state that when given authority, he can glorify God or he can abuse it. And in this case, these spiritual leaders are not measuring up to what God's expectations of them really are. It's a pitiful picture. It's embarrassing, I said, to even think that there are people like that. But we have to guard, too. Not too long ago, I was here one Sunday, I think, one night time, I'm not sure when, not too far back, before the first of the year, and I was talking about reading the Scriptures. Having a time to read the Scriptures and to pray. And in discussing this with a brother, he said, are you faithful in doing that? I said, I'm so thankful I can tell you, yes, I am. Yes, I am. There may have been times in my life when I didn't take it that seriously. If I missed a day in reading the Scriptures or praying. But as I've grown older and I've gotten a little more discernment about the whole thing, I take it very seriously. Yes, I do. I read the scriptures every day and pray. I thank God for that. I thank God that I still have enough of my senses about me, and I'm able to read, and I'm able to pray. And my dear wife, Ruby, we pray together. And we read the scriptures. And I believe it helps us. I believe I'm helped by it. She's different, and I'm different. When you read the Word of God, and when you pray, you draw nigh unto God, and He draws nigh unto you. Yeah, you are different, brother, sister. And if you don't believe it, you try it. If you're not taking it very seriously, you read the Word of God. I don't believe it returns unto him void. I believe something happens. The Spirit of God, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's tragic, I think, that these people who had the law of Moses and a whole lot of other things to read, the accounts of what had happened to the people of God down through the ages, they knew what was right and they knew what to do, but they weren't doing it. And they were a poor example to the people. Said they put heavy burdens for others. Heavy burdens for others, but not for me. Not for me. This is not for me. This is, I'm to instruct others. Oh, how tragic that is. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect example of fulfilling the will of God. You can't be in the will of God and disobey the Word of God. It don't work that way. And sometimes that escapes us. We don't think it's serious to just say, well, I'm not going to do it that way this time. Oh, but it is serious. Yes, it's very serious. I don't think any one of us in this room tonight wants to be called a hypocrite. A hypocrite. Oh, you talk about it, and you present yourself as being someone that you love to praise and worship God and sing hymns and be with God's people, but you don't really mean it. You'd rather be home looking at the football game right now. You people that love the football game, pardon me. And I'm not thinking that there's a person in this room that would rather be looking at the football game. Heavy burdens they put. The works they do is to be seen of men. You know, you've read in Scripture where the Pharisees, when they prayed, they went and stood on the corners. Get a crowd. I want people to hear me pray. They prayed loud and they prayed long, getting people's attention, trying to impress upon them, Rabbi, teacher of the Word of God. I'll tell you this, the times that I've been out on the streets preaching with some of the fellows that we used to go preaching with, we went at it whether we had a crowd or not. Might be two or three people standing around, but we gave it our best. I mean, most of us did not claim to be evangelists and could preach with that kind of fervor, but we did it. We did it. And we weren't trying to make a show of it either. Made you feel real good after you had a turn at telling maybe a handful of people, or sometimes there would be a large number of people. And they were listening to that message. Made you feel good. But the motive was right. It wasn't because we were trying to impress people with what we could do to be seen of men. That's an outward show. And that is what sometimes characterized people as being hypocrites. These phylacteries on the left arm and on the forehead, these leather pouches with parts of the Word of God that had already been marked out as being important. And sometimes it said they make broad. They didn't just put a little leather pouch there, but man, it was big. Got a lot of the Word of God in there. Got a lot of the Word of God on my forehead. It's a part of my life. I value it. And I'm taking it in and I'm practicing what I have. And I'd like to, just because we have it at that point, I want to read one of the passages. There were several passages of Scripture that I had pointed out to me. Exodus 13:9, Numbers 15:30, Deuteronomy 6. And let me read just part of this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And this is what this was all about. This was some indication that they valued the Word of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Listen, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlet between thine eyes. It was certainly a show and an indication that here was a person that took very seriously what God asked him to do. And in obedience to the mind and the will of God, not only was it a part of their home life, instructing their children and living what they learned from Scripture, but this evidence, it's in my mind, it's in my heart, and I practice the truth. And that's important, brother, sister. I tell you, it makes you different. You're different if you really believe the Word of God and you practice what it says. You won't be the most popular person around. I guarantee you that. Because sometimes you're going to abide by what is in the Word of God, and there are others that say, I don't interpret it that way. I see something different. And you know, then that causes criticism, and sometimes things are done that are not honoring to the Lord. We have to say that these people described, the Pharisees, the lawyers, they wanted places of honor. But then when we get to this 13th verse, there are at least 6, 7, 8, perhaps, warnings given. Woes! Woes upon them. The Lord used that word. It's a solemn declaration that I am rejecting your lifestyle. I reject the way that you are supposedly serving the true and the living God. Woe unto you! It wasn't a complimentary thing, believe me. And he was deadly serious about this. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! They preached the message, but it wasn't God's message every time. And you know, I got to thinking about all the preaching that goes on in the world today. So often, these people may adopt a style of dress, put on a different collar, dress in a certain way, take certain titles upon themselves, are addressed, are looked upon by people that have perhaps some confidence in them, or have at least gave their approval to what they're doing. But they're not preaching the truth. They're not preaching the Word of God. And this should be pointed out from time to time to God's people. If you detect that somebody that stands behind a desk like this and opens a book, and maybe it wouldn't even be the Word of God, something else, and they preach, but they're not exalting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not preaching the gospel. That's for sure. You hear some of them on television sometimes. I listen with interest. I say, when is he going to get to at least something I can agree with? He's not exalting the person of Christ. I like to hear Christ exalting messages. You can't say too much about him and exalting and praising him that you wouldn't hear me say, amen, amen. I approve of that. I believe that. I believe he deserves that. I believe we're doing the right thing, brother. But someone that has a different message, and there's all indications that they were preaching the right message. And every time someone hears a message that is coming from a source that perhaps they have some respect for it, they believe that person is someone that tells the truth, someone that would direct someone in a way that would be for their good and for their blessing, and the truth is then that's not what he's doing. It could just be deepening the darkness that's in their souls, because they haven't heard the truth. And that's very sad. And he says, woe, woe, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And it is amazing sometimes to what lengths it appeared the Pharisees and the scribes, if they heard that there was an opportunity to gather in some more people, followers of their movement, they go. They go. It says that they compass sea and land to make just one proselyte. Yeah. Just one. Let's go get him. Put forth a lot of effort. Might be a lot of expense involved. Get one person. But here's the sad part about it. You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Isn't that strange? Person put forth all that effort, be so zealous in what they're doing, and they're not helping that person. They're just paving the road to hell for them. They're on the broad road that goes down to destruction, and they're encouraging them along. Come on, you know, we're all together. And with all of the strange things that you hear today that are not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the truth from the Word of God, and it's being told, and that blindness, again, the God of this world blinds the minds of those who will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, lest that light should shine in. I hate to think that there was a definitive pattern here of trying to blind people to the truth. It's hard to believe that somebody would have that kind of wicked spirit within them, but it could be. Especially when the God of this world is controlling. And that person, the Spirit of God is not controlling that person, but there are a lot of other spirits in the world, that spirit of evil. You know, so often when we hear people, deliver us from evil, deliver me from that power of the evil one, they're not praying that. The way they are directing people, they are encouraging them along that pathway that leads down to destruction and all of the things that are a part of being instructed in a way that is to their hurt. Yeah, there was zeal. I'm not questioning that. Seems there was zeal there. And I think they enjoyed what they did. It appeared that way. It was very profitable. Very profitable for them to do this. They weren't hurting. There was pay there all the time for this kind of service. You know, a young man told me not long ago. He said, you know, when I was going to school and studying for a career, he said, you know, I never knew some of these preachers make the money they make. He said, I found out that there's a man, and he's the preacher of this church where my brother goes. He makes $200,000 a year. $200,000 a year. He said, that ain't bad money. He said, I ain't making half that. And I have a degree, and I'm in a professional career, and I ain't making half that much. And I don't believe he's working half as hard as I am. So you see, there are all kinds of things that can attract a person to follow a career, and doing what these guys are doing, and they're helping people down the pathway of destruction. Isn't that sad? That is sad. The zeal. They don't have the message. They don't use the Bible, the Word of God. And then what our Brother Mills mentioned this morning, this ridiculous thing in which they swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Listen, the temple was the dwelling place of God. It was a sanctified place. It was a holy place. I like what Mills said this morning about this building, this place. When we assemble here, God's people, we are a holy people dedicated to serving God. And this place is sanctified by our presence because we honor God. We honor His Word. And when you get away from honoring His Word and honoring Him, everything about this loses its divine character, as he referred to it. That's just the way it is. And yet these people are doing something so ridiculous. The gold in the temple. The altar and swearing by it. All of these things were a part of what we detect that was so ridiculous about their whole position. And certainly they like to major on minors. You may have wondered where that expression came from about ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. This is it. The Lord Jesus said it about them, what he did. And they could pick up on something and ride it like a little hobby horse. And it didn't have any real deep significance as benefiting God's people and keeping them directed in a way that glorified God. Oh, yes. Strain at a gnat and then swallow a camel. That analogy, the whole thing, you know. But that's just how ridiculous they were. And you know, I don't get the notion that anybody was doing anything about this. Nobody had said anything in a way that would expose them and look like that they were ridiculing them until the Lord Jesus Christ came into the picture. You know, the Lord Jesus was bold, wasn't he? Uncompromising in what he did to bring glory to the will of God who sent him into the world.
I tell you, beloved, he was going down a pathway facing an hour, a time in his life. There was no room for pettiness in his life. There was no room for compromising, making concessions in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people could have just said, we go along with this. You know, they represent us. Yeah, we know they're a crooked crowd. We know they are hypocrites, but we just go along with it. We go along with it. The Lord Jesus wouldn't go along with it. And I don't think we should either. I think we should speak out. And we should make it known. No, I don't believe that, and I don't approve of that. I think it's wrong. And I believe it dishonors God. Why don't you preach the truth? Why don't you honor the one that God wants you to honor? After all, he is the one that the name of Jesus, God will highly exalt him, give him a name above every name. Oh, yes, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, he is God. See, they didn't recognize him as to who he really was. They paid a high price. Sad thing about it is they were influencing a lot of other people. And that, brothers and sisters, tonight, that's what bothers me. When I hear all these fellows that come on television sometime and a lot of others that are writing things and are reaching out and trying to get people into all kinds of things that are supposed to have spiritual value. Dieting today is supposed to have a spiritual value. You can just about make anything out of something like that that you want to make out of it. I think every one of us should eat sensibly. But when you begin to take all of these things and you make something out of it, certainly, our lives should be lived and governed. What you eat and what you drink is of consequence. And it should be done for the glory of God. That's what the Word of God says. Well, these woes, there's seven of them. Some say there are eight. One of those that I didn't put any emphasis upon is one that my understanding that it is not even included in some of the versions that we have of Scripture. When you have men that are leading, guiding, and directing and influencing the lives of God's people, and they are greedy, self-indulgent, and that phrase keeps coming back, the Lord Jesus said, you can obey what they ask you to do if it's according to the authority of Moses, but please don't do what they're doing. He knew them for what they were. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the minds and hearts of every person he was ever in touch with. Well, he knows, as far as that's concerned, he knew the mind and the heart of every person that lived upon the face of the earth. And you know, sometimes, brother and sister, I think that is a good exercise for us to be aware sometime. Yeah? He knows exactly what I'm thinking. He knows exactly what my ambitions are. He knows exactly what my motive is about this. I don't know if you ever do that or not, but it's a healthy exercise to check up on yourself and say, that ain't right, and that is not for the glory of God. Because I don't want, and you don't want, to be a hypocrite. Because I wrote something down. I said, this is hypocrisy in high gear. Man, they are running wide open. I think that's the way it is in the world today. I'm being judgmental. But I'm telling you right now, what I see as far as obeying the Word of God and doing the mind of God, and so many things that are supposed to be benefiting people and helping people and enlarging
Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Eating and drinking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I don't see that sometimes. And it grieves the heart to know that people are going in the wrong direction. Well, they rejected the light, and the results were condemnation. You know, I intended to read this. I'm not going to risk quoting it, but it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It starts out with, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ enjoyed doing what he did in exposing this? No, I don't think so. But I tell you what, sometimes tough love will make you do some things that might not appeal to you, but you know you should do it. You should condemn it. And our Lord did. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's a sobering passage to me. Oh, why can't some of these fellows that can't seem to take the truth from the Word of God and present it, why can't he see that? Why can't he see that it would be exalting and glorifying to God to present the person of Christ as the Savior of sinners? You know, our Lord's going to come again. You know, I think Milton Mills will touch on this more and more, but he is coming again. Before what we read in this last part of this passage, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And that indeed, there's going to come a day and a time, maybe soon. Again, we say this regularly at the funeral services. Oh, it could be while we're standing right here at the graveside. We'll hear the shout. We need John Bramall to get us just wired to say, "I'm on tiptoe expectancy. Lord, you may come tonight." He might. But what he's talking about here as we get into this study, I'm looking forward to it. That second advent. Our Lord's coming again, and he's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to be King of kings and Lord of lords. Home at last, brother. We're heading home. Our Father in heaven, do receive our thanks for the time together this evening. We do pray that we've benefited from this, what we've read. The Lord Jesus gave us these words. Some of them are strong, Lord, strong words that condemn those that would practice hypocrisy, those that would promote another agenda, those that would not do the will of God and preach the glorious message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, send us away from this place determined in our hearts that we will obey the truth and the word. We'll apply ourselves to growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We'll wait the shout, and we say, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. And Michael does have a song.